Well, we live in a time where the church is becoming very well versed in gospel language. Is my mic on? Okay. We use the word gospel as a noun, as a verb, as an adjective. We want everything to be gospel-centered. I think that's a good endeavor. But what do we mean by gospel-centered? When you start working out the answer to that question, the list actually gets pretty long because the gospel is quite comprehensive. It's why the Apostle Paul prays for us that we would comprehend the height and the depth, and the breadth and the length of it, that we would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So just in this little prayer, we begin to see that the gospel is not simply a thing that we learn. It's not just words that we say. It is this multifaceted power that Paul says fills us up with all the fullness of God. And so one of the ways that we at our church try to keep the fullness of the gospel before us is just by thinking about it in three different perspectives. So we have a slide that will depict that for you in a Venn diagram. These three perspectives are gospel content, gospel community, and gospel cause. I'm going to just touch on each one individually and then do a little work on how they relate together. In some way, the gospel is a body of content. Paul often refers to it as the word of the truth. And this word of truth comes to us as a message to be heard and believed. And so the gospel is a message to be proclaimed and to be believed. In a nutshell, the message is something like the good news that God saves sinners through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. The message as a story is the epic drama of creation, fall, redemption, and consummation. Whatever form the message takes, it is always a message about a person, Jesus of Nazareth. The truth, the word of truth, redemption are all embodied in the person of Christ. And the Apostle John makes these connections so beautifully for us. He says, in the beginning of the story, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we seen him, seen his glory as the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The message is about a person. Listen, if I told a young man about this young woman who would just be perfect for him, and I told him everything I knew about her and just went on and on and on about her, that is still categorically different than the young man getting to know her through relational pursuit for himself. The key idea that we're talking about in the content of the gospel is firsthand. We're getting to know a person and learning how to live our lives with him. In a gospel-centered church, the content of the gospel is preached, but it is also sung and prayed and lived. Now, the second circle, our redemption takes place in the context of a community. We hear the gospel, we learn the gospel from others, and we experience the power of the gospel, I think, primarily in our relationships with others. And so the gospel is not only a message to be believed, it is also the formation of a new community in Christ. In Christ, we're adopted into the family of God. In Christ, we are members of one another in his body. And again, John makes the connections. In 1 John 3, he says, "This is the gospel message that we've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." The key idea here is unity. In an age of individualism and self-expression, the gospel gives us a better and more powerful corporate identity. We belong to each other. And so in our unity, we are committed to using our gifts, to serving the body, to speaking truth in love, so that together we all grow up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In a gospel-centered church, people are faithfully present, not as consumers, but as members. And they're using their gifts to serve one another, and they experience the power of the gospel in their love for each other. Last circle, gospel cause. The gospel is a call to action. It's a declaration that the kingdom of God is at hand. See, God is not only reconciling people to himself and people to one another, he is reconciling all things to himself, things in heaven and things on earth. And he's doing it through his people. Paul says, we've been given a ministry of reconciliation, God making his appeal through us. In Ephesians, he said, God is filling his people with his spirit. So wherever they go, as they fill the earth, they fill it with the presence and the power of God, and they declare to the heavenly places the manifold wisdom of God. This is why Paul can say, look, whether you're eating or drinking or whatever you're doing, do it all to the glory of God. The key idea here is that we're ambassadors. Wherever we go, with our words and with our actions, we represent the interests of the kingdom of God, and we invite everyone to come in. In a gospel-centered church, people have relationships with non-Christians. People are active in the work of evangelism, active in the work of mercy and justice. People are praying and working for the kingdom of God and for his will to come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, so that's the gospel in three perspectives. And that begins to give us a some circle that we're more comfortable in than the others. And everyone in your church has the same bent. So think of a typical small group. Content people are like, Bible's open, keep it to the text, let's have a theological discussion. Community people are like, really discouraged because no one's talking about their actual life. There's no vulnerability. There's no caring and praying for each other. Cause people are like, what the hell are we doing in the living room again? Let's get out there. People need our help. They hate small groups. But they have to do it to be a member, so they do it. Here's what I want you to see. Gospel centrality necessarily means that wherever we enter into this picture, we are being pulled into the other two circles by the Spirit of God and by his people. Content by itself tends toward a lack of emotional health and a lack of compassion for others. You can have theological precision and a very shallow gospel. If we go deep into the content of the gospel, we begin to see that I can't divorce Jesus from his body. We're united together in Christ. And we begin to see that the gospel is a message that is always going forth, and it's going forth through God's people. So it pushes me to the other two. Community as an end unto itself is a lot like eating candy. It tastes really good for a little while. But over time, the lack of substance becomes very malnourishing and leaves us with very little to offer others. But if we go deep into gospel community, we begin to see that what it does is it exposes my need for Jesus, for his grace and his truth. And then that community points me to him. And if we go deep into gospel community, we begin to see that Christian community has an outward face. Why does Jesus pray that we would love one another? So that the world would see it and believe that he was sent by God. Cause by itself will be passionate and busy, but it'll be short-sighted and short-lived. If we go deep into the cause of the gospel, we begin to see that the cause is, it only makes sense if the message is true. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then our preaching is in vain. And we begin to see that Jesus doesn't just preach to people. He invites them to follow him personally, to be his friend. He restores people to community. We begin to see that the mission of God requires the whole gifting of the body of Christ. Wherever you come into this, true gospel centrality is pulling you to the center. A gospel-centered life and a gospel-centered church gives expression to all of these things and everything that it does. Not perfectly, but principally and tangibly. And so by God's grace and by the power of his Spirit, may we be the kind of people who are giving grace but pulling and willing to be pulled into the middle, because that is where we experience the fullness of gospel centrality.